QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
W6JLM.
W6JLM, good evening, Judith. Go ahead.
Hi, Tom. Okay, so I gather that I have a little bit of battery left after broadcasting for whoever. I have no idea how long. But my question to you, are you going to be talking about the National Emergency Alert System test tomorrow?
We actually did not have that on the agenda. But would you like to go ahead and give us some information on that?
I just have a little information, but it's the National Emergency Alert System. They're going to be running a test tomorrow. It's a national test from coast to coast, 2 o'clock Eastern time, so 11 a.m. Pacific time. You will be seeing and hearing the entire national alert system going off. So for people watching television, there should be something across the television that says this is a test. However, people that aren't watching television and hear the alarm system going off, this is just a test. It'll last about 30 seconds. This will be a national alert, which has never been done, so this is the first of its type. People should just be aware that it is happening, and I think that possibly, there is absolutely nothing that anyone in the Big Bear area should do about this or any other area if you're not part of an organization that already has something planned. But if you perhaps are in an area and you do have the sirens and you do not hear them going on at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, then you might let Tom know. And that's really about the only thing that information I have, Tom.
Well, thanks, Judith. That's great information. And I know that some of that was circulated through the ECS emails. Of course, if you're not a member of ECS, you're not going to get those emails. So, pretty interesting, pretty neat, and I guess it's good to know that. If you're near something of a siren going off, that would be rather alarming if you did not know this. So I think I have seen a few of these things as marquees going across some of the TV channels designating that it is coming up, but fantastic. So, well, I appreciate that, Judith. Great announcement, and thanks for all that information. Are there any other announcements for the net before we get started? Please call KF6Q. Oh, before we get started, are there any questions out there on the EAS? Real quick, please come back to KF6Q. I think that'll do it for the announcements. We're going to do a real quick and brief here, roster. And I'm not sure if we have Mike with us. I know they're getting ready to travel up north. Let's give him a shout. If he's there, he's there. If he's not, he's not. WB6CLZ, Mike, can you get back into the repeater? Yeah, evidently not. I know he was having trouble getting in from where they were at. How about KA6CIA, George?
Good morning. Good evening, Tom. Yeah, I'll be listening. K6CIA.
George, I do that myself. And after catching myself, I say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, whichever will apply. Sorry I missed you there at breakfast, but I had too many things on my plate this morning. Let's see here. How about KE6QI, Nancy?
Here, you caught me off guard. KE6QI, Sugarloaf.
Hey, Nancy, glad to have you out there. Do we have KE6RJ handy?
He's warming the sofa and asked me to check him in, okay?
I'll take your word for that. That's perfectly fine. This is not an emergency net. This is simply a hobby net. So that's perfectly fine. Glad to have you out there, Harry. Thanks for listening in. All righty. I don't know if he's out there. KI6SKN. Chris.
Good evening, Mike, and everyone on the net. KI6SKN.
Well, Mike will just have to be in incognito. I don't think he's out there. I think he's going to abandon us tonight, Chris, so maybe you could help us out with some DX. KJ68ZS, Mike, are you out there?
Good evening, Tom. The net, this is KJ68ZS. No traffic.
Hey, Mike, we'll give it a courtesy check in to K6EK X-ray if he's out there listening. Your dad. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, everybody. KJ6FIL.
Okay, Mike, don't know if you're going to be headed up towards Onyx after this weekend. Bring some very tall boots or snowshoes. How about KJ6KDL, Jim?
Absolutely, KJ6KDL here.
All right, Jim, thanks for helping me out with the net this evening. How about KJ6KDK?
I'm here.
She just ran into the kitchen. Hold on a second. Yell down the hallway, dear.
Hi, KJ6KDK.
Great mic, microphone there. Picked her up just fine. Well, let's check and see if W6GZI. Frank, are you out there? Yeah, nothing heard. KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing heard. How about K6GVL, Ron from Green Valley? Nothing heard. How about AD6PL, Harold from Riverside? Nothing heard. If anybody out there is in the Riverside area and knows Harold or knows how to get a hold of him other on the radio, might be a good idea to check on him. We haven't heard from Harold for some time, and he used to be there every week. How about N6BOP, Ann from Pomona? And nothing heard. How about K6LCS, Clint from Harupa Valley? And nothing heard. And we know we have W6JLM and W6KMM out there. Judith and Ken.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is W6KMM. Everybody have a good evening.
Okay, there, Ken. Judith, thank you very much for being out there. Appreciate it. Fellow neighbors here of Sugarloaf. Alrighty, how about K6YNW? Chris?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. K6YNW.
Thanks for being out there, Chris. And we'll give him a shout. I know sometimes he can come back and sometimes he can't. W6POO. Nothing heard. How about KD6LAN? Bill.
Bill, KD6LAN, listening.
Okay, Okay, Bill, after we do a couple things this evening with some computer stuff with Jim, stick around. We're going to talk about Yagis, basically stuff that you were interested in earlier. So hang out. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Vanette. This is AE6CK.
Ah, my wife says you could double for a voiceover of Dracula. So around October 31st, he's probably get a lot of work. Yeah, currently 24 degrees up here in Sugarloaf. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Okay, Rod, glad to have you out there. KB6LTY, Christy? Alrighty, nothing heard there. Pretty much the list of normal regulars in there. Anybody else want to check in? Please come back.
IQA.
I had KI6IQA there and somebody underneath him. Who else was out there? Thanks for checking in, Kelly.
WA6ITC.
WA6ITC, Rod, glad to have you there from right west of Lake Williams. We'll just call you Lake Williams. Anybody else? All right, that pretty much concludes that part. And we don't have Quint out there this evening, or at least we don't so far, so don't know if we're going to do anything on hamsats. Chris, KI6SKN, one of the great other cohorts of DX. Have you had a chance to even get on the radio? Please come back.
Oh, Tom, let's see. Well, it's been a couple days ago. I got on for a little while on 10 meter and made a contact, Spain, England, Japan, probably a couple other places. Not a whole lot, though.
Chris, on 10 meter, are you using your BKW for that?
Yeah, that's correct. The ZS6 Burger King Whopper. Up there about 40, a little over 40 feet off the ground in the center, hanging off a tree limb, and about 35 feet on the ends. Total length of the cell, a little over 90 foot.
Well, fantastic. I know you use it on a lot of the other bands, and it's great to hear that it's working excellent on 10 meters also. Saw a little article, just a little comment here, on the G5RV, which is actually the grandfather of that antenna. Definitely, I think the BKW works better. Where they actually put two of them crossed over, a little experimental there, kind of get an omnidirectional pattern. But I think, Chris, from what you've had with your experience there, you're getting reports. It doesn't matter which direction it is, so even if it's directional, it seems to be pretty omni anyway. All right, anybody else out there real quick with any DX? Please come back to KF6Q. All right, well, anyway, moving ahead. Jim, KJ6KDL, asked you to kind of look up a little bit there about stuff of the future, a little subtopic this evening of interfacing computers and ham radio. We've talked a little bit about this in the past. Let's do a little review on that tonight. What were you able to dig up?
I was looking around at several things. One of them was the terminal node controller interface, and the other one was that famous package that we talked about, Ham Radio Deluxe, in the class that, or the radio meeting that I missed, but have looked up, haven't had a chance to use, because I don't have a radio for it, but I got both of those.
All right, good deal. Would you like to elaborate a little bit on this evening?
I'll let you start, and then I'll let my brain kick in.
All right, well, anyway, as we all know, radio, ham radio, actually, one of the hardest parts of the newer radios is all that it does too many things. too many different things, too many things for to have too many dials. And as all this is hidden back inside in a computer, I would call it a computer type memory or device inside, getting to that sometimes is very, very difficult. So what we found with a lot of radios, they've created a computer interface to go directly to your computer, letting the computer talk to the computer in the radio. Control radio, computer-aided technology, KAT. I'm not sure if that's exactly what that stands for, but it sounds good. And this makes it a little bit easier for base stations. Now, handhelds, no, I don't think it's going to work too well there, but base stations, it works pretty good. Jim, anything else to add with that? Go ahead.
Well, on top of that, from what I've been looking at, since it's one of my dreams is to get a software-controlled and software-assisted radio, is with technology comes complexity and the ability to do more complex things. What I'm looking at is the ability to do multi-frequency monitoring, which the radio inherently does anyway, watch spectrum analysis figures, do complex signal adjustments to help clarify part of a signal you want to watch, and actually keep tabs on individual frequencies that you would like to monitor, and also track down signals that become active on frequency so you don't have to keep manually spinning the dial.
You know, I think that's probably one of the best features right there. I know in years gone by, the way back era, back then, Mr. Peabody's way back machine, we used to use, and still actually do use with some of the older sets, modulation scopes, basically an oscilloscope in itself that's basically set up, even though it could probably do many, many things, to monitor your modulation visually. Visually, you can see that. You know, you can say, boy, I can see whether I'm under or over modulating. I can check my sideband. You know, you can check all that. Pretty good stuff. Today, because of technology and advancements, it is really simple to actually even have monitor the entire band. You can see what's going on above and below without actually tuning. You can see signal strength, stuff like that. Pretty awesome stuff. Anything else you'd like to add there, Jim?
I think that's the, I guess the visual display that comes with software. Instead of having the same display that you're always used to seeing today on these fixed liquid crystal displays, you're able to custom design almost in a widget format what you see on the screen at what given time, and you can change it. So you can have whatever you can fit on your screen that you see fit.
This is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Getting to other facets that have gone digital, here's an example, just voltage meters, testing meters, simple things like that, tools. I have used for years a Fluke Model 77, great piece of digital equipment, and there it is, it's got numbers. But I think we've all had at one time, depending on your age, a VTVM, or may still have one, analog meter, where you can actually see, you know, left is zero and right is max, and you see that thing move across, whereas digital, we don't see that. So I think that visual thing, interpretation onto the computer screen, we start to see the amplitude of the signal spread across the bandwidth, kind of getting back, little interweaving of digital with analog. Let me reset. And I'm sure there are many, many other things to come. Like you say, with digital control receivers, essentially punching in a frequency you want to listen to or a band, and there you are. So that's also pretty interesting. But anyway, we just want to touch base with that a little bit, and we're going to get into just a little bit about Yagis. Okay, we never did have our Yagi workshop this year. Unfortunately, with Mike's schedule and my schedule, we just weren't really able to put that thing together. But if you're listening, if you have internet access, if you have a computer, I suggest, and I'll repeat this, you need to go to K7MEM.com. K7MEM.com. Let me reset. Not exactly how he pronounces his last name, but I'm going to call him Martin E. Meserve or Meserve. Anyway, you can figure that one out. This gentleman's got a great site. That's his call sign, K7MEM. That's Kivo 7, Mike, Echo Mike. And it's KE7MEM.com. His site basically has a great amount of information, especially for the beginner. Let me reset. If you get familiar with his site, you'll see on his main homepage, he's got neat information about basic resistors, capacitors, inductors, different things of electronics. On the bottom is antennas. Big jump there. And he's got all different types of antennas. He's got antenna calculators. He's got a lot of literature right there, right on the same page. Little design on the go, if you choose. You design your own Yagi, but he already has plugged-in values that are pretty typical. Spend some time here. Go through his site. He's got a lot of other good information there. Pretty, very easy reading. Got some good numbers there that work. And it's probably a good beginner step, if even the last one. It's got stuff for dipoles, Yagis, J-poles, all different kinds of things. So, excellent site. Little tip, if you're going to build a Yagi, not too critical for 2 meter on dimensions. I think you're allowed about a quarter of an inch tolerance generally is going to be acceptable. However, you'll find that if you go and just compare numbers and spacing and element sizes, you're going to find they vary a lot. And that's because there's probably about a million different combinations for the same antenna. Jim, real quick, you've got a lot of that square tubing, and I think your intentions are to build a Yagi, is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah, I'll be getting that branding gear, probably by the time the snow hits this week. Really intend to do something with that. It's rectangular, probably about, a little bit more than, a little under 3/8 of an inch tall, and about 5/8 of an inch wide, and at least 41 inches on the standard pieces. And I've got some big, almost 1x1 tubes that I can use for the actual boom element.
What you might think about, seriously, is using either one of those for booms, actually the square tubing for the booms, or even the rectangular for booms. You've got actually material there to make many antennas. And if you look at this guy's site, you might find that it might be worth putting some wire or something, maybe a piece of tubing for the elements. And he's got some good construction techniques there. It's, if there was one-stop shop to get somebody started in this, right, this would probably be it. Let me reset. Another thing, I just want to bring that up. I said we have many antennas, different dimensions, all for the same frequency, and what's up with that? Yagis are a variable. The spacing between the elements can be anywhere from 0.15 wavelength up to 0.2 wavelength, and any place in between. When you change that, what does that mean? Well, here's what's going to happen. You're going to change your gain. You're going to change the impedance of that antenna and its natural state before you modify it. And you're also, you're going to change the bandwidth. There's also, you're going to change possibly the, we'll call it the aperture of the antenna. All these things are variables. Let me reset. So I'd say for the best and simplest, somewhere between a 4-element to maybe a 7-element Yagi for 2-meter. Probably will do us all, unless we're, if you're going to be doing moon bounce, maybe not. You might want to think about something else. He's got a very good section here, too, on matching the antenna to your feed line. Read that. Find it. It's in there. Kind of pay attention with that, because that's where we lose it a lot. We get a lot of good gain from that antenna, and we lose it on the mat. So, the reset. And like I said, if you have any questions or anybody has questions about that, drop me an email or drop him an email. Either one of us. He's got a contact email thing there, and you can also contact me at kf6q at arrl.net. Any questions on Yagis out there, just as a general scope, please come back to KF6Q.
You're not waiting for me, are you?
Oh, well, no, Bill, I know you had questions earlier. Did you have any other questions? You really should check out this site.
Okay, well, you know, again, my main question is, if you use tubing, I understand the lengths are different, but can you use different diameter tubing?
You can always use a different diameter for the driven element. That's the main one. That's where you're going to be feeding. And the others, which is the reflector and the directors. But changing different size element diameters within the directors themselves, it's kind of like putting different size tires on each wheel of your car.
Okay, well, that answered that question, because the only, I have everything I need except that the tubing is different diameters. I don't have enough to make a 9-element Yagi. I don't think I have enough to make a 6-element either, but we'll have to look at that.
KF6Q here on Tech Tuesday. Well, what you would want to do, let's just say you have enough to do 5 elements. Keep in mind, the driven element, the one that the wire or the feed is going to connect to in one way or shape or another, can be a different size. It can be larger. It could be a folded dipole. It can be a lot of different things. But essentially, that one is not uncommon to be larger for bandwidth purposes. However, all the rest should be the same amongst themselves. So if you don't have enough to do a 9, and you don't have enough to do, say, a 7, build a 6 or build a 5. You're going to get a lot of gain just with that.
Okay, not arguing with you, but I'm looking at the specs on this one that I have here, and the only thing it says is the reflector can be a different thickness or a different size, and everything else should be the same.
And that would be that person's opinion. Reflector can be a flat piece of metal. Reflector can be actually a set of elements. It can be wire mesh. It can be a lot of different things. Very common to build, if you're going to build an antenna, build it all out of the same stuff. For simplicity itself. If you're going to be isolated from the boom, all your bushings are the same size, all your holes are going to be the same size. For me, it's just simplicity. Keep it simple, as they say. Back to you, Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not arguing, because you know me, I'm the DOS dummy. Trying to get this thing done right the first time, or at least the second time. So, okay, let it go back to you, Tom. KD6LAN.
Little thing to point out here, too, with Yagis. unless you actually do some, what we would call homemade antenna range testing, you're probably never going to really know if it's working exactly the way it's supposed to. But the fact is, it will work. And for all practical purposes, build it around what you're trying to build. And I'm sure it'll be close to that, no matter who you are or what your building skills are. Attempt that. Probably the only critical thing is matching up that in feed line and the way it's fed to the antenna. That's the part that's really important. The rest of it is important too. Normal construction procedures. You don't want something that's going to fall apart in the first windstorm. But things like that. And it'll work. Like we say, all antennas work. Some will work better than others. And as you get build your antenna building skills, you'll find that, you know, things will start working a little bit better. Your refinements and getting used to using the dimensions and things. Jim, KJ6KDL, any thoughts here?
Well, I am looking through that website right now, and there is a link talking about element diameters. It gives a general rule of math that you basically keep the diameter small in relationship to the element length, and the math is pretty wide. It basically stayed between 1/1000th and 2/100th of the wavelength for your diameter ratio. So pretty good leeway there. It's very forgiving.
Yeah, and if you look at a lot of what he has there, and he's got good suggestions, and you know, I would say first off, use what you can to get a hold of. Use what is economical for you. Obviously, 3/8 diameter aluminum tubing is going to be more expensive than 1/8 inch diameter aluminum rod, but one's going to be a little more durable. And you can plug that into his equations there, and it'll automatically adjust your lengths and spacing, or spacing pretty much, I think, is you set that at first. And it's pretty good. He's got some pretty, it's a good online calculator. And for all parts, there's many others out there. I've got links to other ones, but this is one that I really feel has got a lot of explanation on the pages explaining why you're doing a few things, especially on the matchup section. So pretty good site. Anything else to add there, Jim?
Maybe after the weekend, because I'm going to be looking at putting something together this week.
Yeah, roger that. You know, a little thing to say here. If you can come up with somewhere around a 1-inch square tubing, there it's really good to work with. I found that Riffenberg's is just one example, has a great selection, as does Butcher Block, of plastic bushings. Cheap, they're cheap. They've got a flange on them. You can put one in on each side of the square tubing, short enough so they don't touch in the middle. Insert your element through that, and then use the little slip-on, we'll call them slip nuts, to kind of anchor it in there. And now you've got it isolated from the boom, which is a good thing. You don't have to worry about any metal making or breaking. And you've also, now you can remove that thing if you need to and adjust it. So it's kind of a neat process. I've seen that in other places, and those materials are pretty cheap to have, and they're available right up here on the hill. Any questions, please come back. KF6Q.
YNW.
Yes, YNW. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. I'll ask again where you can find these plastic pieces that can go over the tubing. That's lacking that. I got an antenna put together. And you do not put metal through metal. You have to have something to insulate it, because the wind will just tear it apart. It can go over it like they make the TV antennas. Remember those things? But if you just put it through it, the wind will just tear it up. Back to you, K6YNW.
Roger that. Yeah, it can be mounted on the top or the bottom. When I'm referring to going through the boom, as an example, there's a bushing that would be inserted into the boom. The element goes into the bushing. All these are just slightly slip fit fittings. And as all this is locked together, it's just a way of insulating but still mechanically coupling this to the boom. Of course, if you have a way to actually aluminum weld or solder to the boom, that's even better yet, and it's never going to come off. So there's a lot of options out there. But I appreciate that information, Chris. Any other comments?
Me again?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, do you sound like you maybe know of a place to buy this thin tubing to insert it in the, into the mast?
One place, without going to great extremes of search, if you have, if you're off the hill, if you're wherever you're at, if you have a Home Depot or a Lowe's nearby, they have a very small little section in the store, generally not too far from the hardware area. It's a little bin of aluminum tubing, rod, things like that, depending on which store you're in is how well they're supplied and stocked. And usually come 3 foot, 6 foot, and sometimes 8 foot, up to 1 inch in diameter, some of the stuff. So got to kind of see what your local supplies are. They also have all those bushings in the area with all the little bushings and cotter keys and areas like that. So you, if you look around there in that area, you'll probably find a lot of creative material.
Thank you so much, K6YNW.
Yeah, one other note there, Chris. You'll find that a lot of the stuff varies in price. I think the square tubing is the most expensive, but some of the stuff is it's not pricey, but you know you're still going to spend a few dollars. So you know it's like anything else. You have to judge, you know, how many elements and how many dollars are in the wallet. So anyway, anybody else out there? Any questions? Please come back to KF6Q.
Another comment.
Go ahead.
For your mast and places and things like that, you want tubing that fits pretty closely together. And that can be kind of costly. And what some people are doing, they're getting these metal nets for cleaning swimming pools, and they slide together, and they can serve some of these purposes very easily and cheaply. K6YNW.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion there, Chris. And, you know, and this is where we have to think outside the box. A lot of things are out there are already manufactured for us, and just adapting those to, you know, believe it or not, right down to curtain rods even. Some of the old round curtain rods actually would work on some of this stuff. So be creative. Think outside the box, and that's the best way to save a lot of money and time too. So appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any suggestions or questions? All right, well, hearing none, appreciate everybody in there joining in this evening. Two of the people that normally are in here, one which does a DX report, he's on his way to Alaska. And if you didn't think it was cold enough up here, he claims it's warmer up there, and I just don't believe him. I'm sorry. I think, and of course, Clint out there, K6LCS, basically not with us this evening, but I know he's had a very busy schedule. So anyway, thanks everyone for being out there listening and participating, and I'll hang around after the net and just fend any questions if there are any. So QST, 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 this is KF6Q, closing the net at 1900 hours and 39 minutes. Thanks for all joining us, and see you next week. Returning the repeater back to normal use.